Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 232.
232. Doop-de-doo. Doop-de-doo.
That's nice. That's a nice little tune.
That's what listening to a podcast really is at the end of the day. It's you going about your life, and it's something for you to go doop de doo
doop de doo doo. The boys are talking again.
Doop de doo.
What do you think is the oddest thing someone's been doing while listening to this?
Oh, burying a body.
Yeah, I wonder statistically if any murderers listen to the Only Anti-Murder podcast.
Probably, as like
keep track of
their
enemies.
It'll probably be a thrill.
Oh, go,
here I am listening to the Only Anti-Murder podcast, doing the exact thing the boys don't want me to. Well, you can't control me, the boys.
You think it's like opposition research?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where it's like the murder lobby is like, well, we got to keep track of what the anti-murder groups are doing. Like, I read a rumor once that there's always a couple of people sent to go join Republic from like Clarence House or to report back.
Join the Republic?
Well, Republic, the campaign group for a no monarchy.
Oh.
So Prince Charlie, there'd always be a few people reporting back on what the Republicans are up to. The British Republicans, not the same as the Americans.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Keep an eye on them.
Do they really think they're enough of a threat?
Well, why not keep an eye on them?
I guess.
What if they get a hold of some juicy intel?
Yeah, it's hard to think of any juicy intel about the royals that isn't full public knowledge at this point. How much juicier does it need to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, what else are they going to do? Sit around in their puffy pants?
Poopy pants pooping all over the place.
Autumn is here, Phil. Have you begun dreaming again?
It's cold, Pierre. I was able to close all my bedroom windows last night.
Oh.
It was so good. Summer is over and people are sad. That makes me happy. It makes me real glad. Because I hate the heat and I hate the light. It's time to get nice and cold.
At night. That's really nice. I like it. Because I hate the heat and I hate the light. That's nice. I also like it because it's such a horrible sentiment.
I hate the heat and I hate the light.
It's the sort of thing
I hate the light is really horrible.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing like a moth or the devil would say.
Yeah, or the murderer listening to this would say,
just as he's packing his boot full of hacksaws and duct tape. Gonna hate the heat, and I hate the poop-a-doo, hate the light. Just as he's like counting his horrible murder tools.
Or she.
Very underrepresented in the murdering community, actually.
Yeah.
And it's their own fault. Come on, ladies. Who to murder people? Girls. Now, Phil.
Yeah.
I've been having weird dreams lately. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you, remind me, are you a dreamer?
I think so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but there. Actually, recently I've not been dreaming that much.
A decline?
I had a horrible... In lockdown, it was really horrible because I think your life was so inactive that my dreams went into overdrive and I was just dreaming about really mundane things. Just like, what if you put that thing in... Oh, actually, you put it in that part of the room.
Yeah.
You wake up and go, oh, where did I put that thing in the room? It's never fun. It was just like really... Like not being able to remember my password or... I get frustration dreams. They're not exactly anxiety dreams. I think we've mentioned this before. I get frustration dreams where I need to get somewhere and the Google Maps just won't load. Or I need to catch a connecting flight, but I can't find the way through the airport.
Oh, yeah.
The flight never leaves, but it's always just about to leave.
That's I think that's such a comedian thing to get, like travel anxiety dreams, because we're responsible for so much of our own travel and getting to our job.
Yeah.
I've often had it where, like, it's a big board of train departures, but, like, you're having to constantly, like, change, and there's a new stop, and the train gets cancelled, and yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Lately, I've been having very detailed dreams about specific objects that I own.
Ah.
Like my shorts, or like a beard trimmer, or like a spatula.
Okay.
What the fuck is that about?
And are they like alive, the spatula dancing around like a Pixar character?
It is the dullest, like, I dreamt that my... I've got these, like, cloth, like, they're not like sports shorts, they're like chino shorts. Cloth.
Mm.
Cloth, Philip. And, cloth, do you hear me, boy? And I just dreamt that I somehow got, like, yellow mud on them.
Ugh.
You know, like, that weird clay?
Yeah, that sticky clay.
Yeah. Just that, that's the whole dream.
That's a pretty cool dream.
Just looking at them and going... Oh, how did this happen? But like,
at least you're
ages,
getting out and about in your dreams. At least you're getting some exercise.
Yeah, but I don't remember the exercise. But clearly, I Lara Crofted my way through some sort of fabulous.
But these are actual boots. These are not. They're not made up new dream boots. They're the actual boots you have.
Shorts. If they were boots, at least I'd go, oh yeah, eventually. Yeah, no, these are the actual ones I own. This is the thing. It's not fictional. Like, the spatula is the red spatula that's in the drawer right now, or it better be. it's so boring, and I wake up, like, bored. Like, I'm waking up bored.
Do you have an emotional tie to your things? Because I've been reading Fern Brady's great book about autism.
Oh, yeah.
And she talks,
excellent book.
She talks about, you know, being young and watching documentaries about women, particularly autistic women, who form close emotional relationships with like trees or a roller coaster, or like these inanimate objects.
Yeah, they fall in love with like the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, and Fern remembers not feeling that was that weird, and she says that. Does she say it's an autistic trait to
I think
to have
it,
a connection to things?
I think it can be, and I think she makes the point that in the book. She makes the point in the book that the annoying thing is that the documentaries are very much like those sort of noughties documentaries where it's like footage of the person walking down the street and the music's like, like look at this weirdo.
Yeah, Channel 5, look at these fucking freaks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Britain's longest family or whatever.
Yeah, just put together by some Nathan Barley cunts working out of East London.
But then it reminded me of when I moved into my new place and I was I wasn't very happy. I was quite depressed and I felt very alone and anxious until I unpacked my kitchen appliances.
Oh, I remember you saying the gang's all here.
And then I took the kettle out and the toaster and the coffee maker. I was like, the gang's back together. And I felt so much better. I felt so less alone. I felt like I was with friends. And I said this on Adam Buxton's podcast, expecting some sympathy. And he just laughed at me. He thought I was really weird.
Yeah, especially because, like, you think, oh, if anyone's going to give me sympathy with this thing I'm checking out here, it's going to be Buckles.
Yeah, because he's got all his gadgets and things.
Yeah, but clearly it's just mechanical for him. That's interesting.
But I find it strange not to form some kind of emotional connection to an appliance or an object that you... that you use every day, that you come to every day in the morning and that nourishes you. I don't know. I find it very... I think I do... I sometimes get anxiety about leaving objects on their own because I'm like... I almost think they're going to be lonely. I almost think like, imagine if I was just left alone for 12 hours.
I used to get that all the time as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, with certain things. I'd be like, but that's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair on the object.
Yeah, I get anxious about leaving things on because it feels like I'm leaving them alone and conscious.
Oh, like awake, like a robot trapped in space.
Yeah.
Like in like in that Aliens film where they've just left the android on this planet and he's gone mad.
Yeah, like what's the Pixar one? Where is it?
Wall-E.
Wall-E, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, and I really personify things.
I think, yeah, I did that a lot as a kid. I remember feeling sad as a kid if you don't have the toys sort of together with each other kind of thing. Definitely.
I have to do the Marie Kondo thing of saying goodbye to something when I throw it away. I have to say thank you.
Really?
Yeah, I have to say thank you to something.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just replaced my wallet, and the wallet I've had is this tattered old leather thing, but I've had it for more than 10 years now, and I can't throw it away because we've been together for so long. You know what I mean? And it feels treacherous to just throw something away after it's been with you that long.
Did you have pets growing up?
Yeah, but we didn't. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Not very close to the pets. A couple of cats we liked.
I think it's easier if you had pets growing up where it's like, you know, your hamster passes away and that gives you maybe more of a synaptic root forms in your mind for like the wallet to be like, well, time to go, old friend.
Yeah.
Time for the hamster to go in presumably the bin. If not the shoebox in the garden, then probably just the bin.
Yeah, I need to let this wallet go. But we've been through so much. We've been so many places. We've been all around the world.
Yeah.
I've been to more places with this wallet than any girlfriend, any partner, any friend, any relative. This wallet has been with me more than anyone.
I think that this would be...
And I'm just going to throw it in the bin.
This would be, such a perfect series of sentences to be redubbed by the guy who does the voice for Mr. Krabs. Why, this wallet's been with me all the way.
I should frame it. Yeah, it's the kind of thing that he'd frame, like his first wallet.
Yes, yeah, like a sort of insane businessman in his like a Succession style skyscraper office has just got this tattered old wallet on the wall. And there's a scene there's a scene where the really like upstarty, slightly like ignorant, but very talented new young guys. Then he's like, what's this old tatty thing? And then you're there with like silver hair, like with your hands clasped behind your back, looking over New York. And you say, oh, that's just an old wallet.
That's an old friend.
Something I couldn't let go. Is there never been an object that you've just thought, could you reframe it as, you have failed me?
Well, I mean, like, I finished a tube of moisturizer, and I was throwing that away, and I was, my instinct was to say good thank you to that, and I went, no, I need to draw the line at, like, containers of paste.
Just some paste. Yes, that's a good question, actually. What defines an object that is worthy of the level? Because a tube of paste is too simplistic, whereas a wallet, it's leather, it's stitched, it's got little flaps and pockets.
Yeah, I think it's more to do with like the amount of time we've spent together. I think something that is intended for a single use, I would never say goodbye to or never say thank you for.
As you put it in the bin, you say, you knew what this was.
You knew this day would come.
Yeah. It's what you were made for. You were born for the bin. And you just spike it into the fucking bin.
Born for the bin.
That's be a great tattoo.
We are born for... That's like if I was a leader of like a cult of post-apocalyptic sort of inner city raiders.
Yeah,
Like that old Batman has to defeat, like Batman in the 70s.
Yes. Post-nuclear.
And at one of our like underground raves, I get up and everyone's, and I'm like,
brothers and sisters, we were born for the bin.
And they all go, and you see that, like, as they cheer, people have got, like, born for the bin, like, tattooed on their fucking lips and, like, in on their eyelids, you know.
And they're wearing, like, leather things, like, leather straps all over their head. You're like, what do the straps even do? It's all leather and spikes and stuff.
Yeah.
We're born for the bin.
They've got two little yellow loops of leather off their shoulders, like bin bags.
Yeah. Ah, yeah. So they can be lifted up.
Yeah.
And one gets selected by a sort of claw-picking mechanism. They've come to worship as a god.
Yes.
And who is for the bin tonight? And everyone's like, yeah, they hope it's them, even though it means they're dead. They're like, ah! And then this claw comes, and it grabs, picks one and grabs them by the handles on their shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
And to the bin, brother! And this, like, the one who's been picked is like, yes, yes!
Yes, and he's
and
like...
it drops him into
it, pit. As you watch it, it happen to him, the bit that would be freaky is that he's, like, crying with happiness.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Everyone else is so jealous and cheering and stuff.
And, like, his mother's, like, crying with pride and, like, his children. Yeah.
This is great.
Are so happy.
I'd love to watch this later.
His children are crying because they don't understand it yet, but the mum is like...
Yeah, the mum's like,
that's
no.
That's your father.
It's good. You shall receive extra oats this day, for Papa has gone to the bin. One day you'll be proud of today, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that shit, man. I love a post-apocalyptic thing where a weird thing has become a religion.
It's so good. It's always
so good.
Great.
I love it. I mean, yeah, the peak is Fury Road.
Fury
Road.
What a lovely day.
Yeah, and just worshipping petrol and worshipping. Oh, so good.
And to be shiny and chrome.
Oh, it's so good.
It's
the best.
Yeah, and as Batman is helping someone and they duck down behind a bin and he says, what is it? And they say, Binborn.
The Binborn.
The Binborn. The what? I'll explain later. We got to get out of here. Yeah, and they'd have all rustly bin bag clothes because they're the only things that haven't decayed.
Yeah. Yes. That's good stuff.
It's great. This stuff, you know, if we lived in America, we'd be given Diet Coke and drugs and just left in a room. And Hollywood studios would just harvest this stuff. Just caffeine.
Not right now, of course, Pierre, because we stand with the strikes.
Yeah, sorry. None of that was writing. We stand with SAG. This is all riffing, baby. No prep. Let us know when there's a riff strike on.
Even as people who are not writing a show in America and live in the UK, we stand with the SAG strike.
We arbitrarily stand with a strike that has nothing to do with this. We also stand with a strike of Cambodian railway workers. Or whatever else. Although, to be fair, Phil, because we're so completely culturally entwined and colonized, loads of projects that we know about that are going to be like UK projects as well are also stuck because they had like two American staff members.
Or they're co-productions or something.
Or they're co-pros. For the listener, the UK has no money for anything, so we have to let the Americans pay for things so they can put them on Hulu and not watch them.
The Hollywood strike is a bit like the lockdown, and in that part of me is like, oh, thank God, I a chance to catch up on stuff.
Yeah, true.
I think maybe this should be a spicy take for the bonus pod, but I'm gonna let everyone have a treat. This
main,
is my spicy take.
Main pod spice. Open your mouths, everyone. There's some spicy prawn
coming. All TV and movies should go on strike like for 6 months every 2 years.
Yeah.
Just so everyone can catch up. Or maybe just stop for a year. It's too much at this point. I need time to watch this.
They go on strike and they just see what they can get that's different from the previous deal. And in that time, the public catch up and hopefully get bored. People aren't
bored enough so that there's appetite for new stuff.
Yeah, and so they're actually enthusiastic about stuff instead of just like, more, like these kind of media-hungry goblins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, I would love some sort of social media strike.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Can you imagine?
We're not going to post on Instagram until everyone on Instagram gets a tiny reflective percentage of the Instagram money, because we are working for Instagram.
We are creating all... I mean, every time I post a reel on Instagram, I'm like, you're welcome, I guess, Instagram. Here's some of free content you implied you wanted without ever explicitly saying so, but yeah, that's definitely how you exist.
I do kind of think that. Like, I remember back when you and I were young, new, hot, new, young comedians, and this is like 2014, maybe, back when you could get
I'm still a rising star, Pierre. I'm still a hotly tipped rising star.
Ah, I still remember your routine. Boiling hot tips. So hot.
Hotly tipped.
Hotly
Man,
tipped.
Man, I don't miss those days of having to pretend you were hotly tipped, or that you were highly... What was the other bit? You were highly anticipated.
One to
I
watch.
I had a bit about that. Who's anticipating? Who sat there just anticipating?
Oh, here it comes. He's going to do it.
But yeah, I am a hotly tipped rising star, Pierre. Still, I am.
Well, back when we were hotly tipped rising stars with anticipated dawning routines, you could get quite a good amount of traction by writing jokes on Twitter. And even back then, when it was just writing stupid one-liners about nothing, I still just thought, well, fucking pay. Why am I working for free? I hate working for free.
I know.
And it's the main reason that my career is so in the bin. It could be so much less in the bin, Phil, if I could just work for free all the time on social media, constantly making little videos, and I can't do it.
Yeah, I guess it's a different economy. You work for free at point of use, as it were, to use an NHS analogy, and then you make the money later on because they ask you to be in, people ask you to be in things, maybe.
I hate that. I hate the idea of someone referring to social media as free at the point of use.
But it is.
I know, but it's so gross. It's like we need it medically. Horrible. Ugh. Man. That would be good. I'd like a strike like that. It's weird that you can't... Are there any like British movie writers who just are like, well, fuck it, I'll do it. Like, American writers make so much more money than we do. Are there no British writers just going like, well, I've got a movie idea, I'll be a scab? Not that I'm recommending it, but...
Right.
Why doesn't that happen? It's the same language, it's often the same market.
Good idea, Pierre. Good idea.
Make a little phone call. Do you know people on strike? You've been to the States a lot?
Yeah. All my American comedy friends and acquaintances are on strike, of course. I think all you can do now is do sort of live shows. So everyone's just doing loads of improv shows and stand-up shows, and someone and friends doing stand-up at the old Hickory Plant in downtown Saskatchewan. In Super Emo County. Oh, I don't know.
Supremo County is great. I'd love to live in Supremo.
You live in Supremo now? Wow, yeah.
Yeah, he's moved out to Supremo, so we don't hang out much anymore. I don't know if I was in America in those clubs, I would like that. I think I would be... some of us, Phil, were doing podcasts before the global pandemic, and then a few other people, like Rob Brydon, got paid by some production company out of boredom to make their own. And you know what? It's not for you.
Not for you. Stay away. Not fair.
I think if you can host Would I Lie to You, you don't need a podcast where you interview Will Ferrell, however charmingly you may do it.
That's impressive. Did he... Rob Brydon interview Will Ferrell.
Yeah, on his podcast, because Will Ferrell was, you'll never guess what, also stuck at home.
Yeah. That's the amazing thing. You realize these people are successful and famous because they just have to keep doing it. Even though they're multimillionaires and the world is locked down, they're like, I still need people to hear me talk and know what I think. They must know.
Do you have that terrible deep hunger in you, Philippe?
Not anymore, no. I when I started, yes. Now I'm like, everyone leave me alone. And lock my door and play Switch, Nintendo Switch.
It's so funny to me, that transformation. Really? The transformation really is funny inherently from a hotly tipped rising star, dibbity doo, ba bow, and then going, ah, okay, shut up. Get out of here.
Party's over. It's basically, I'm at the point of my career where in Batman Begins, Bruce Wayne goes, all right, everyone, get out. And he's had the party of the night,
oh,
and everyone thinks he's
yeah.
joking. And he's like, I'm not kidding. Get out, you money grubbing, lying, smiling through your fake teeth. And people are like, I'm not joking. Get out. And then people realize.
He
actually wants them to leave.
That's you.
And that's me. I'm Bruce Wayne at that point.
That's you to your own laughing crowd.
All right, get out. Speaking of my laughing crowd, I've started my tour. Aldershot, Aylesbury. I started working my way alphabetically through the towns of England.
Yeah, how was it?
Great, man. Really good people. Fun times. And I'm up north this week. Warrington, York, Buxton. Buxton.
Fresh water.
Spa town. Delicious water. So if you're around there, come see my show. Come see my comedy laughter show.
My tour starts, as you're listening to this, tomorrow, Thursday, the 21st.
Oh, exciting.
I'm off to, let's have a look. I'm pretty sure Thursday is Oxford. Oxford University. Oxford Glee, and then Friday is Brighton.
Wait, so is this your first tour?
My first ever tour.
This is your first ever tour. So today is your last day as a tour-free man.
Yeah, my
you
last
be on
day
a stag
being
do or something. You
my last
be
day
stag.
Being hotly tipped.
Yeah,
and highly anticipated.
Now the tip is hot and it's been sunk into. What are these tips meant to be for?
Well, you think it's like a sword, like the hot tip is plunged into an ice bucket and it.
I guess hotly tipped means like here's a good tip.
Yeah. As opposed to the bell end.
Yeah. A
sort of boiling hot cherry red.
Well, regardless, your foreskin is white hot.
Were you thinking of it as the foreskin? I was thinking of very much the helmet.
Oh, the helmet. Okay, yeah. Your helmet is white hot. The air above it is sort of
wavy.
Wiggly. It's making the light wiggly.
I was picturing it as like a white... white hot sort of bell, and then it's like revealed, you know, like Gandalf's fucking staff starting to glow white. Like that. Yes, exactly so. So it's Thursday, Oxford, Friday, Brighton, Saturday, Cambridge, and then next week it continues. Birmingham, double Birmingham. Double
wow.
Bristol on Saturday. Exeter, it's all kicking off. And if you're in London, the last chance you have in God's green earth to get this show. It's my old show, and never doing it again. It's the 23rd at Leicester Square Theatre. That's the last one. I'm like Ringo Starr. If anyone tries to come see the show after this, it will be tossed. Peace and love. I am warning you with peace and love to come see this show. There'll be no more doing the show after this. 23rd.
After this, Pierre's going to pick up this show in his hands and he's going to say thank you and he's going to throw it in the bin.
I'm going to take the show and put it with all the other shows so it's not lonely. In a little room. Yeah, exactly. So come see us on tour. Is there anything else, Philippou?
Is there anything else? We could do some correspondence.
Yes, but no plugs. No more plugs for you.
No, those are all the plugs for me for now. But there will be more plugs. I'm full of plugs. I'm plugged.
Oh.
I'm plugged up with plugs.
Oh. On Instagram, some fine person is doing a no context bud pod.
Oh, yes, of course.
We don't know who it is, but they're very...
We don't know who it is, but it's very high quality no content. And it's a very high quality no context account.
Yeah.
And this person is taking out quotes from episodes of Bud Pod and putting like perfect images behind them.
And they take submissions. So if you have any no context Bud Pod things make you laugh, whatever it is, tell them and they'll sort of Photoshop it onto a beautiful and highly relevant image.
Yeah. So follow No Context Bud Pod on Instagram.
Follow it on Instagram. And you know what? Follow all of us on Instagram. God bless us, everyone.
Everyone.
All right, let's do some correspondence.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ring, letters, emails, phone calls, jacking your sister, ring, letters, correspondence.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding. Sing, sing,
sing. We got a message from Ellen,
it is heaven to hear from you.
Hello, PNP.
Hello.
Partial as I am to discovering things several years after the cool people have, I have just started listening to the pod.
Yep, coolest people around listen to this pod.
Yep.
Only the coolest, hippiest, hipters listen to this pod.
Only the most toilet humory, semi to fully autistic, anti-murder, pro-nuclear cool people listen to this pod.
The finest people around.
Yeah. I am up to episode 100, and I'd rather not think about the speed with which I have achieved this shameful centenary.
This shameful centenary is a great title or something.
I thought exactly the same thing. This shameful centenary.
It sounds like a best-selling history book or economics book or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's covered in the FT and the LRB. Have you heard?
Yeah.
It's called the shameful centenary. It's the 100-year anniversary of... Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Shameful centenary.
If you're listening, you can have it. Just credit the podcast in your little intro. I have some tat for you. The likelihood is now that you've moved on from such matters, but here we are. Wrongo!
You'd have thought so. I didn't even realize we did start a tat as early as 100. But I guess we've been...
I think we you know, have you ever heard the phrase the long 20th century or the long 7th century or the...
No, I only know the phrase the shameful centenary.
Yes. So the historians use it when there's a particular period that is sort of only 100 years or close to it, but it's sort of emblematic of enormous patterns. Like if a historical pattern or social change actually covers like 1788 to 1914.
They call that a long century.
Yeah, or like if just loads of stuff happened in a particular century, they might call it the long 18th century.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
Because there's so much stuff happened in there that you kind of can't believe that much happened in it. But often that the period is also like a couple of years more either side.
It feels like centuries have gotten longer and longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that sense.
Definitely. Way more stuff happens all the time. I think we have that with the first 50 episodes of Bud Pod up until the pandemic, up till 53.
Gosh, it's mad. I didn't realize the pandemic was that early on in Bud Pod's life.
That's how early on it was.
It's a year, I guess.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. Yeah, well,
So it's hard to remember these things. So, Ellen continues, if you open your BBC iPlayer, search for Wales's Home of the Year.
Okay. As in the Wales, the country, not like where humpback whales like to...
We're just, it's the Atlantic again.
Tune in next time for Wales Home of the Year.
Yeah, Wales the country. Select episode 5 and skip to 13 minutes and 9 seconds in, and you will be rewarded handsomely for your efforts.
Mm.
The charming home, this charming home in question, is an absolute assault of tat, albeit artistically arranged. Pausing and zooming in reveals the following gems.
Oh, great.
Okay, so let's see if you can whisper these.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm going to say them in a Welsh accent because it's Wales Home of the Year.
Yeah, go for it.
Also, thank you, whoever, I can't find you right now, but someone on Instagram from ages ago, from maybe during the Fringe pods, messaged me saying that my enunciation of Gwynedd was perfect.
Oh, wow, look at that.
And I'd just like to say... Shemai to all the Welsh people listening, and apologies for this voice I'm about to do. So let's see if you can whisper these Welsh tats. Wine improves with age. I blank with blank.
I improve with wine.
Oh,
yes.
He's only gone and guessed it. Absolutely.
Maybe for this
right.
One, instead of the didgeridoo, should be a Welsh male voice choir.
Yeah, yeah.
Bread of heaven.
Bread of heaven. Yeah. Land of a... Men of Harlech, yeah. It's not a hangover. It's blank, blank.
Oh, it's not a hangover.
I'm telling you, it's not a hangover. It's blank, blank.
It's... thinking time.
That's a nice euphemism for it, but it's not correct.
It's not a hangover. It's happiness payment.
Oh, no, that's good. That's the J... Is it... Who said that? J.K. Chesterton or someone?
Oh, I don't know.
That's from some Edwardian wit.
Ah.
It's simply happiness borrowed from tomorrow. Hee hee, you know.
Ah, right. It's not a hangover. It's Daddy's special day. I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to have to tap out.
It'd be so funny if I saw if you were hungover lying down saying that. I can't believe you're hungover. It's not a hangover.
Can you give me one word? Give me
Daddy's special day.
Give me one word. See if I can get
it's
at least
not
one.
A hangover. It's wine blank.
Oh, it's not a hangover. It's wine reflection. Oh, no, this one's too hard.
Okay. It's not a hangover. It's wine flu.
Wine flu. I've heard of wine flu as well. Well, because my instinct with it's not a hangover was that they would try to make it sound good. It's like,
oh,
it's not bad. It's actually good. It's not
enforced downtime.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
It's, you know, it's constructive reflection day or something.
It's reflection of a kind, yeah. If you are what you eat, then I am blank, blank, and blank.
Then I am sausages, fat, and roots.
I would love to see that on a wall. If you are, like, all like burned into a piece of driftwood. If you are what you eat, then I'm sausages, fat, and fruit.
I know, roots.
Oh, roots. I thought you said fruit. Yeah. Either
roots,
way.
You can also fruit.
Sausages, fat, and roots. I'd read that go, eh? I'd call you back into the kitchen. I'd be like, Phil, what does this mean? And you'd be like, yeah, what? That's true.
If you're what you eat, I am gravy, mash, and pussy. I don't think it would be that. I don't think it'd be that cheeky.
What an incredibly sort of banterous northern man would have that on his wall.
Yeah.
You've got to think more conceptual. There's no food items on this at all. It's descriptions of food.
Oh. Then I am fried?
No, you're too literal. You're being too literal. You're obviously hungry.
Descriptions of food.
Conceptual descriptions of food.
Oh, then I am delicious? Sweet?
Sweet is more the sort of thing, the stuff that can also apply to a person, we're saying.
Yeah.
It's puns, Phil.
Oh, gosh.
What kind of puns?
Spicy?
No.
Sweet? Salty?
No. That's too literal.
Bitter?
Too literal. Yeah, we're getting better. Getting better.
Oh. I am tasty. I am.
You're thinking with your tongue.
Oh, God. Think of my tongue.
No.
And nourishing?
None of it's to do with tongue. None of it's to do with... None of it's to do with tongue, boy. Nothing to do with tongue. Yeah, no one saucily describes themselves as high in potassium. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm saying like sweet.
Yeah, but you're getting closer with that. But it's even one level beyond that.
Then, if you are what you eat, then I am. Juicy, creamy. I am a big splat on a plate. I'm boiled.
I'm boiled. Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
If you are what you eat, then I'm fast, blank, and blank.
Fast?
Yeah.
If you are what you eat, then I am fast, junk.
Yeah.
And then I am... Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. Then I am fast, lean, and drunk. Because drunken chicken, well, that's like Chinese. Oh, I give up. I can't do it.
If you are what you eat, then I am fast, easy, and cheap.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's to do with shagging.
It's a bit too abstracted. Okay. You're right, I was too literal. I was too much into the food.
You were going on about mouthfeel and stuff, sweetness and crunchiness. Okay, what about this? I keep losing weight, but it keeps...
finding me.
Bread of heaven. You got it. And this one isn't really a phrase or a tat, but it's just maybe a quite progressive. Real men, blank, blank.
Real men bake bread.
Close. You got exactly along the right lines, but more, less fun than baking bread. More boring and horrible.
Oh. Real men clean dishes.
Yes.
Is it?
Wash dishes, yeah. Heaven. Bread of heaven. It's funny, isn't it, that you would say... Would you say clean the dishes or wash the dishes?
Wash the dishes. Clean the dishes.
Because this is a thing where you go, I'm just going
to... dishwasher.
I'm just going to go clean my teeth, but you wouldn't say I'm going to go wash my teeth.
But I clean my teeth is weird. I think I had a girlfriend who said clean my teeth, and I thought that was... Oh,
it's British. It's quite British.
Is it?
I think so, yeah. Oh. Clean my teeth. Clean your teeth. I grew up saying brush.
Yeah, I grew up saying brush.
The trouble with saying wash your teeth is that it's too soapy and it's no scrubby.
Yeah, it feels like you're putting your teeth in like a tub and you're going shh, shh, shh.
Or just sort of sluicing them, I think, with washing. Just whoosh.
Right, putting them in a colander and just running them under the tap.
Yeah, yeah, like big broccoli heads. Yeah.
Yeah. and putting them back in. Would that be good if you could just pluck your teeth out, put them in the washing machine, and pop them back in? Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. That would be so good. You'd never have another problem again.
I mean, absolutely horrifying for the time when you don't have any teeth in your mouth.
Yeah, that's. What would you do in that time?
Eat porridge. close all the blinds. Make sure no one sees you, visits you.
Oh, no, you know what would be good? A Solero.
A Solero?
a Solero or like a Calypso, like an ice lolly, like a frozen...
Would that be horrible, having the ice right up against your gums, though?
But like, I think it would be soothing.
Hmm.
You go, hmm. Like when you lose it, when you lost a tooth when you were a kid, or...
Yeah, it was nice to tongue... I was going to say tongue the hole. So horrible.
But it was tongue... nice to tongue the hole.
It was good to tongue the hole, the tooth hole. It was nice to tongue the hole.
It was nice to tongue the tooth hole. And you could go in the tooth hole. And then it was so slowly, but the new tooth would emerge, like a horrible...
Yeah, being a child was awful.
Being a child was metal.
It was really fucking metal, yeah. You'd get a loose tooth and you go... And you just go... Doink, pull it out
and like pull out your tooth and tongue the hole. It's like lyrics from a death metal album. Horrible. Tongue the hole is a... Tongue the Hole is the name of a track that Ed Gamble would listen to. He'd be like, have you listened to Tongue the Hole by Child Teeth?
Child Teeth.
I bet there's a band. Hello, Ed, if you're listening. I know you do listen sometimes. I hope you can find us a band called Child Teeth. But Ellen says, but really it's the breadth and the scale of the tat that deserves to be seen. Absolutely splendid stuff. Goodbye.
How has a home like that ended up on like Greatest Homes?
Producer with a sense of humor, one of those.
Maybe the producer's a pod bud.
Maybe the producer is a pod bud. Maybe.
We're out of time for today.
We're out of time.
But thank you, Ellen. That was some great Welsh tat.
That was very good. That was nice. And very specific iPlayer recommendation as well.
Yes, giving this exact time code.
Yeah, well, now it's time to go to the exclusive Welsh cottage of the Patreon.
Oh, no. Okay. Yes, come to the Welsh cottage for spice. Some spicy rarebit.
Yeah, some lovely leeks.
Did I tell you when I first moved to the UK and we were in Bath and we went to somewhere to have a lunch and looked at the menu and it said Welsh rarebit, which I thought was rabbit. I was like, delicious, but yeah, rabbit. Yeah. And then we all served cheese on toast and I was like, I want to go back to Malaysia.
I always thought it was like some kind of very nichely prepared haunch of mutton.
Yeah,
a piece of a,
like a rare bit, like a rare piece.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, this is the bit just under the bum. This is the kind of bum flank, like a kind of internal thigh, haunch, leg thing.
Yeah, this is the gooch. There's only one per sheep, and it's a delicacy.
It's so hard to find and cook the gooch correctly.
They call it Welsh fugu. Fugu fish is puffer fish. You have to cut it exactly the right way or you die.
We've seen The Simpsons, Phil.
We've seen The
Classic
Simpsons.
Classic Simpsons.
Not everyone remembers exactly what they call.
That's true. All right.
All right. See you soon, folks.
See you on tour, guys.
Remember, bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.